Oh, there's life in Wagga this morning on Cup Day. And by the way, Finchop, who's on a heater, and his tip will go up on Bet's friend, has sent his tip through. Wagga Cup, number 3, Renaissance Woman. If it lobs, Finchop will drive to Wagga and give Bjorn a lift home. And
is he coming? Have we got confirmation?
That B. Baker is coming today.
All right.
He's only coming if he wants the glory on Cup Day. He wants the interview. He wants the presentation.
Yeah.
He wants to take the spoils home, and he wants to be here.
Well,
that's
a good sign if he's coming down. But I'm a little bit concerned if he's coming down, driving down, and then going to drive home, because that worries me a little bit.
Well, Finchop will solve the problem.
Right, Finchop can solve the problem.
But here we are at the William Farrow this morning, and was outstanding to see some people who are in the same gear as what we saw them in last night.
Yeah.
What about, there was a group here, I was like, what time you pull up, boys? They said, we're still going.
They are still
going. They're wearing Dumb and Dumber outfits.
Yeah, and they're from Bankstown. So,
so
I don't even know where they are.
And then we've got the boys, so I think drew a couple of horses in the Calcutta last night as well.
Mm-hmm.
Still in the same jumpers. They're punting group. They're from around the MacArthur region, Picton and that sort of area. So they're still going strong too by the looks of it.
Well, that's what it's all about.
And I'm sure the Amber Ale will be flowing very shortly here at the William
Farrow.
It's
great country hospitality, we call it, Mitter. When you come to these parts of the world, and Riverina in particular, Wagga Junee, we like to spoil people and look after them.
Speaking of the Wagga Junee situation, we were reminiscing yesterday. The key was when you were a young buck, and you were, because Junee, I'm sure it was a big deal to come to Wagga to go out when you were 18, when you had your first beer, of course.
Yeah.
And what was the key? You had to get the last train home.
It's about 12:30.
Otherwise,
XVT.
Okay, and if you missed it?
If you missed it, you were staying, because you'd never get a cab.
Staying where?
Well, you just have to find somewhere. What are you laughing at?
Well,
you'd sleep on a...
Well, I don't know. I'm just going back
bench.
To
you'd just
1986 Laurie Daly and wondering, or 1987 or whenever, probably just before you got to the Raiders.
Thinking, well, I was only a young boy then, so I never did it that often, but that's what you'd have to
happen.
Well, you'd have to walk out of, it used to be called, the nightclub used to be called Coco's, and you'd walk out of Coco's. It was a nightclub.
Yeah. Sounds
like walk out of Coco's, and you walk down here. There was a pizza shop on the corner.
Mm. Still open.
Still open.
Yeah.
And that's where people used to gather. And then you'd walk up to the train station and then get on the XBT to Junee, because it was going from Melbourne to Sydney. So that was your way home.
Yeah.
If you didn't,
you were
and you never had a ride, you were gone.
Yeah. The next hour, we got Cookie coming up after 8:30. Damien Cook in the wake of South's 42-12 loss to Penrith last night. And, of course, their, tumultuous week with the sacking of Jason Demetrio. Right now, though, from Fox League, none other than Yvonne Sampson. How are you, Vonnie?
I'm wonderful, boys. That was a bit of a reminiscing, because I grew up in a country town as well, a little bit the same. So you'd get all gussied up, really, to go nowhere. And
that's
you'd
exactly
go out,
right.
And you'd go out and you'd have, you know, a few drinks or whatever. Yeah. And if you didn't organise the way home, that was it. You were stuck and you'd be on someone's lounge. Or in my case, I found it easier to drive and then sleep in the back of my car and then drive home in the morning. That was because there were no cabs. There was no public transport. Like, forget it. There wasn't even a bus where I grew up.
No, and we jumped in a cab and we said we needed to go to Junee. The cabbie just wouldn't take us.
No,
they
get
just
out.
Go, yep, get out. You're not welcome.
To Junee at midnight. You're off your head. We're not doing that. Plus, it would have cost an arm and a leg.
Especially back then. And I'm
never
just thinking,
an option.
It was Bulldog saying on the show the other day, have we seen a collapse in recent times as stark as this one from South Sydney, considering where they were, what about just over a third of the way through last season, and then barely a third of the way in this season, to have got in this position where they've had to relieve the duties of coach Jason Demetrio. I mean, it's been an incredible fall, hasn't it, from this club?
It's been really sad to watch, and with no real clarity as to why. You know, we've heard rumours and we've watched the lack of defensive effort that, you know, we see each and every week, but there's no, you know, you can't really point to anything. It's not like a salary cap drama or some sort of scandal. It's just this internal unrest that seems to have put South rock bottom on the NRL Live Premiership ladder. And even last night, you know, I thought, oh, gosh, they jumped out to that early lead. And I thought, well, hang on, they've waited for the coach to get sacked. Now they're going to have a dig. But no, and then they just fell back into that same old stale cycle. And it's, I don't know, the South Sydney Rabbitohs are such a famous club. And I thought with the injection of Jack Whiten, and I thought this was going to, I actually had them in my top eight. I thought they were going to be amazing this year. And now that Ben Hornby's taken over, and you could see he was like, you know, his eyes were like dinner plates. Like, what are we doing here? How are we going to save the rest of this season? Because as you mentioned, we've still got a lot of rugby league to get through for 2024. He'll be ably assisted by Dave Ferner. But, you know, in the 41 times an NRL coach has been axed or walked mid-year, only three times that team has been able to go on and make the eight. Once was the Panthers, Cameron Ciraldo in 2018, when he took over from Hook. Rick Stone with the Knights in 2009. Remember when Brian Smith quit mid-season at Power and Jason Taylor took over? So that was 2006. So it's a big, big task. Look, from where they are, it would almost be impossible to see them salvage the rest of this year, which is such a shame because they're a big club with big ambitions, but they seem to be right at the bottom at the moment and the rebuild must begin now. So, yeah, you're right. The capitulation's been quite stunning.
Yeah, and the man to lead that rebuild, we're hearing, will be Wayne Bennett, on the verge of signing a three-year deal. So he's been there before, and will he be able to sprinkle his magic dust over this team and get better results?
Yeah, it feels like Wayne has been in constant contact with South. That's what we're sort of hearing now, and especially with the signing of Lewis Dodd, I think Lewis doesn't commit, and Brayton Astor highlighted this on 360 and on his Instagram as well, that Lewis Dodd wouldn't commit if he didn't know who the coach was going to be. So we feel like Wayne has probably been in position for a little while now. We'll wait to see all that unfold in, you know, in due course. But, I mean, when Wayne went there and left in 2021, and he went back to Queensland for family reasons, but they sort of gave him a timeline. What was he there for, 3 years? And they said, look, we want results. We want a premiership. And Adam Reynolds was leaving around the same time. So they lost their captain and they lost their coach all around that time. And really, Souths have been... they haven't really gone forward the way they wanted to since. So Wayne coming back to Souths, it all feels right. But, I mean, again, they'll have expectations of success. Wayne wants success. He wants success in a short time. And I don't know if that roster or what they've got to work with will do it. So, yeah, Wayne's got a big, big job on his hands. But he's never short on confidence. And he brings a certain aura to something. And, I mean, he's been in rugby league longer than you or I could ever imagine. So he knows all the tricks and he'll get a result. He'll get them back on track. But, yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to Mal a few weeks ago when Mal was in the frame and then it all sort of got a bit confusing and, you know, people weren't really showing their cards or being transparent in what was happening. And I think Mal just got frustrated with the whole process. So, yes, Souths have got a lot to work with and work on, and I hope they do take that step forward with Wayne.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they approach it as well, Vonnie, from a succession point of view, because I'm of the view, after looking at Wayne's track record, that after Wayne, you need an experienced coach, because when you go through all the guys that he's appointed as the next guy in charge have all failed. So I think if Souths are going to appoint Wayne, then they don't take Wayne and the successor to him. They wait and get an experienced coach to fill in straight after Wayne. Because you look at Ivan Hanjak, Steve Price, Rick Stone. That's just to name a few. Jason Demetria at Souths. Yeah. They all have had bad records after Wayne's left. And they've been young, inexperienced coaches.
It'll be fascinating to see how it goes with Christian Wolfe at the Dolphins then, because I think for me, that's probably the one I want to see, that transition and that handover of leadership and coaching philosophy, because you're right, the track record under Wayne is very, very poor. Now, is that because those assistants go from being your mate and looking after you and, you know, don't worry, boys, I'm here, don't worry about the coach, I'll handle it, and being that conduit between the players and the head coach, to then when Wayne leaves, when the boss walks out the door, then all of a sudden the relief teacher or the assistant has gone, right, oh, well, I'm in charge. And the boys are like, no, 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 you're one of us. You're one of our mates. And so is that an impossible transition to make to then reset the boundaries between what was an assistant coach to becoming a head coach? Because two very different roles and two very different levels of respect and authority. So it'll be interesting to see how Christian Wolf handles that, because he's a bit of an alpha, and I don't think he sees himself as the second banana. Do you know? Like, he's going to say, righto, this is how we're running it. This is how I do things. You either get on board or you can leave. So he's already starting to put his imprint at the Dolphins, but you're right that coming into bat after Bradman's impossible anyway, right? But it'll be very interesting to see how Christian handles that transition, and if it has to be a particular type of person that comes in charge after Wayne Bennett.
Yeah, and I think Christian is better placed than all those other guys because he's actually coached his own team and coached it at a high level. You know, you can coach at SG ball level, you can coach at New South Wales Cup level, but he's gone over there to England. And he's had to deal with boards, he's had to deal with players, he's had to deal with pathways, sponsors, everything. And he's been there for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And so he's got a greater understanding of what a head coach role is, whereas the assistants, I don't think, do, if they've never had their own teams at that level.
Also, Christian Wolf, wasn't he a bare-knuckle boxer? Like, didn't he go around in those boxing troops and he's, like, undefeated? I think his boxing name was Afro Savage. In and around North Queensland. Like, he's a serious bit of gear. So if you're going to play up, don't do it on Christian Wolf's watch, for God's sake.
Oh, jeez. Now, a couple of 200 gamers over the course of the weekend. And Cookie, tough week for him, of course, at South. But played his 200th last night. Ended up at fullback, something in itself, isn't it? But also, Cameron Munster plays his 200th. It's been some journey, but, one of the great modern-day players, isn't he, Munster? And I know he's a Queenslander, Vonnie. You love him dearly.
Oh, you wouldn't change him for the world. I mean, he's probably given everyone a few headaches over the years, but game number 200 for Cam Munster, and I completely agree. I think he's one of the most raw and creative talents that we have in the game. And even Craig Bellamy said that Munster's probably the most naturally gifted player that he's ever coached, which is enormous given the quality of talent that Bellamy has had to work with over the years. And you know, this milestone puts him into the footsteps of, you know, Cam Smith and Billy Slater and Cooper Cronk, and now Munster's certainly etched out his own reputation. And he does things differently. He does things a little bit unorthodox. He'll probably always have a little bit of that wild streak in him, but you can see that when he plays. And even though it makes him a bit of a liability at times, it also makes him a huge risk out there, because if you're a defender, you're not sure what he's going to do, because he doesn't particularly know what he's going to do from time to time. He just looks up. You can see his eyes. They're lit up, and he's just sort of taking his chances. And he's a gambler, and he backs himself, and you know, most of the time he comes out on top. But, yeah, Cam Munster, he grew up in and around Rocky, and always a bit of a larrikin. He walked into training. I think Jason Hetherington was his coach in around Mackay or somewhere around there, and he walked into training with a diamond stud in his ear. And Jason just about ripped it out and said, get rid of that crap. Now, come in, turn up, you're going to be a footy player. And, I think there's been some tough love over the years for Money Munster, but he's delivered in spades. He's an absolute champ.
Vonnie, the Eels haven't had the success this year that they're after, and we're still only, 8-9 games into the competition, but without Mitch Moses, Gutho has now gone in for a knee operation. It looks like he's going to be out for 4 or 5 weeks. What's the future look like if they continue to lose for Brad Arthur?
Well, I'm really disappointed for the Eels. I mean, they were in a grand final a few years ago, and they are so far away from that at the moment. And they know that the loss of Mitch Moses isn't an excuse, but if you look at their roster, Junior Barlow's playing off the bench, Regan Campbell-Gillard, they've front-loaded all their salary cap. They don't have a lot coming through. Their outside backs aren't really delivering where they need to. Gutho keeps... You've seen him smacking that knee and trying to sort of get it kick-started. We knew, like, in the middle of the game, he'll bend over and, like, punch his knee. So he's obviously... He can't get the K's and the meters out of that knee that he needs to. So he's gone to have surgery. He was having it drained. And they're looking at options. Do we move Gutho? Do we put him into 5'8"? Do we put him into centre? Do we try and find a new fullback? It seems like there are more questions than answers in and around Para at the moment. And, I mean, that's fine. You can get rid of Brad Arthur, but what are you going to do? Who's around? Who's going to come in and work with that playing group any better than he can. So they're in a really tough position at the moment. Yeah, just hasn't gone to plan. And look, they've had a bit of bad luck with injuries and suspensions and all that sort of stuff. But if you just look at, you know, the 1-17, it's just not doing, it's not working hard enough. The investment they've made in that 17 isn't working hard enough for Parra at the moment.
Match of the round, surely tonight, Brisbane and the Roosters, Vonnie. Gee, there's some storylines around this game too. Of course, Ezra Mamm has overcome the finger injury and he suffered that racial slur from Spencer Lenu when they met in Vegas in round one. You've got some talk that whether the Roosters will go after Selwyn Cobbo, possibly Katoni Staggs as well. Payne Haas looks like he's in some doubt. This is a big game tonight, and it looks like the Broncos are really coming into some form, and the Roosters, of course, put 60 on the Dragons on Anzac Day.
Oh, this will be the game of the round. I can't wait for tonight. Broncos, Roosters at Suncorp. As you mentioned, Roosters have had a massive week, especially with Luke Keary announcing his retirement, and then the fact that they're all coming off that 60-point pumping on Anzac Day. So they are up. And I thought Sam Walker on Anzac Day just reminded us all why he's probably going to be the next Queensland halfback. He was outstanding. And you're right, there's so much crossover between these. Will the Broncos make a play for Sam Walker, even though he said he wants to stay at the Roosters? Are the Roosters going to throw, and we know they've got plenty of money to spend coming up, are they going to throw the kit and caboodle at Selwyn Cobbo? It'll be a very, very interesting to watch how all that goes out, because they're chasing a star centre to replace Manu and Suali'i next year. So there's lots of little storylines between these two. There always has been, because they're the two big boys in town. They're the two glamour clubs. They've got big people in play. And I just hope the Broncos have got the pickle juice on standby, because those cramps last week for Reynolds and Walsh were absolutely, as funny as they were, we can't really have them seizing up in the final minutes of the game. Payne Haas, as you mentioned, he picked up that sore knee at training yesterday. He'll be given right up until kickoff to make sure that that is tickety-boo. But Jared Weir-Hargreaves is also out with a calf, so I don't know. There's a couple of outs, but as you mentioned, the major in is Ezra Mamm, and I think he's been in electrifying form so far this season. And once he teams up with Walsh and Cobbo, it's absolutely wonderful to watch. I think the Broncos are in the mood to make a bit of a statement on the Roosters tonight.
Just quickly, you were a little bit concerned about Origin with Queensland. Flegler's out now for another month. He's not come up from that, was it a... I forgot what his injury was.
Shoulder.
Yeah, and you've got some key players, if not out, battling to be available for Origin, Vonnie.
Yeah, we do. I mean, and Tino Fasuamalau, don't forget him. He's obviously gone for the year, so... Yeah, we do. Never concerned, never a drama. You know what? We could pick Max Plass and still win. It's fine. Oh, these little champions ready to come. Look, we could roll them out as soon as you put a maroon jersey on them. No dramas at all.
Oh, jeez. On that note, we'll have to leave it there, Vonnie. No, thanks so much. We'll catch you on Fox League. Huge Super Saturday for you as well. Uncle Laurie. Hit us.
Yes. Hawkesbury, race 4, number 1, toes on the nose. John Sargent.
Tomorrow, Hawkesbury 4-1. Let me get a price here. 4-1. That is benchmark 78 over the 1800. Toes on the nose. Barrier 2. $9. $3.10 the place. Love it, Vonnie. Thank you.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy. See ya.
Chelsea 2-0 over Tottenham in the English Premier League this morning. The golf, the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. Englishman Matt Wallace, 8 under par in the clubhouse with a one-shot lead. Best of the Aussies in that tournament on the PGA Tour. Jason Day shot a 5 under 66, so he's just 3 shots off the pace. Also, Aaron Baddeley, 3 under 68, so he is 5 shots off the pace there in that tournament. Just seen Tiger Woods as well has accepted a special exemption to play the US Open at Pinehurst. And, of course, the great Tiger was US Open champ in 2000, 2002. And who could forget his triumph at Torrey Pines in San Diego there in that playoff with Rocco Mediate in 2008 as well. 3 US Opens as part of his 15 major championships. Last night in the AFL in the showdown, Adelaide beat Port Adelaide by 30 points. And we've got a huge game tomorrow, the Swans and the Giants, just the team news there. And the market's been pretty stable here with the Swans at $1.80, GWS $2, very tight market with Tab. Dane Rampey returns for the Swans, but Luke Parker's not back yet. He's among the emergencies, is Parker. Toby Green back from suspension. Sam Taylor back from concussion, but Stephen Cornelio hasn't quite come up yet as he tries to overcome a knee injury. Carlton and Collingwood tonight at the MCG. Money continues to come for Carlton. They're $1.58, Collingwood $2.40 for that one. The Pies have Jordan DeGoey and Tom Mitchell out injured, but there'll be 90,000 there tonight. Last night, the NRL, Penrith 42, Souths 12. Our man Cookie, Loz, played game 200. He played at fullback. Origin centre, South's fullback. He's done it all.
He has. It's a great milestone for Cookie too, playing 200 first grade games. And as a young boy, I'm sure he would never have dreamed that he'd be able to play that amount of games. Unfortunately, though, this season, it hasn't gone to plan for South. They came into the season with a lot of optimism. They thought they'd identified the problems from 2023. And things just haven't fallen into place for them. They look like they're lacking confidence. They're not playing their best football, and they're getting results like last night. Mm. But in the NRL, you've got to hang in. You've got to be tough. And at some stage, you expect it to turn around if you're putting in, if you're doing the hard work. And that's one thing they can't do now, is not turn up and put the work in. And they've got to stick together. And they're going to be a tight group, and that's the only way. And they're going to fight their way out of it.
And great to have him on now, so soon after the game last night. Cookie, a very good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, guys. Just want to say thanks for understanding on Wednesday morning, not being able to be on. Obviously, a bit going on there, so appreciate you guys understanding that. Had me on this morning.
All good, mate. Understand you got to do as the club asks. They are your employers after all. But first, let's just quickly talk about yourself, Cookie, playing game 200. And I know you're always focused on the team, but congratulations. And what does it mean to you to reach that milestone there last night?
Yeah, thanks, mate. It was a really special moment. My family done a great job of making it real special, and so did the club, especially going for a real tough week. They still made sure they made a big deal of the milestone, so I really appreciate that from them. And I've heard lots. As a young kid, you dream to play in NRL, and now to sit here and have 200 games under your belt is really special. And one day it's hard for us, NRL players. We have to move on to the next week sometimes, real quick, and don't get to sit back sometimes. But this one, I definitely will in good time. Just reflect on 200 games. Still, hopefully, plenty more footy to come. But at the moment, it's obviously. Hasn't been the best start to the season for us, but we are going to fight our way out of this.
Yeah, congratulations, Cookie. A wonderful achievement, mate. 200 first-grade games in the NRL. It's a tough environment, and it takes a special character to get that many games. I don't think you thought you would be playing fullback, though, in that game last night, and that was out of necessity, obviously, with a few injuries. But I just want to touch on the start of the week, and obviously the playing group haven't lived up to expectation this year, and your coach has been sacked. I mean, what were your initial thoughts on Jason Demetriou when he was sacked and told that he was no longer in charge of the Rabbitohs earlier this week?
Yeah, it's been a real tough week, and I have to give a lot of credit to JD for how he's handled it. Especially the day that it all happened with the board meetings, you wouldn't have thought anything of it. He just went about his job, doing what he needed to do, working hard for us on the field, and doing all the review stuff, making sure we're ready to go against Penrith. So the way he handled himself was really good. Credit to him. And first thoughts were we've let him down. That's what it was. We're the players that are out there on the field, going out there. We got the ones making the errors and the missed tackles and stuff. And we've let our coach down there, and obviously cost him his job that he's worked so hard to get to. And that hurts. It hurts not just as a coach, but as a mate of ours too. So he's been a part of the club for a long time. And the sad thing is, results-based game that we're in, it's a brutal game that we play on and off the field. And all we can do now, like you mentioned before, is we're going to stick closer than ever at the moment. We're confident things will turn because we are always more looking to improve in areas, and we're training hard and we're working hard. We haven't shy away from anything. We're facing in front, and we're taking it on, and just trying to get better and better each week.
Your chief executive, and I know, eventually spoke to the playing group, Blake Solly, but he indicated a player-led style of coaching wasn't conducive to this playing group, that you need someone more directive. I mean, how do you feel about that, Cookie?
Yeah, that's a hard one, because obviously, I understand JD wanted to get the player-led culture, and maybe we just didn't nail that. And like I said before, we as players for our coach, we let him down. And it's something we need to look at ourselves first, especially us as a senior playing group, with, you know, myself involved. We need to be much better there and making sure that we're doing a good job for not only the for ourselves and leading by example, but setting the standards for the club and what values we stand for. And we did put a lot of hard work into that in the pre-season. We'll probably need to reassess that and go again. But, you know, it's, a change obviously had to happen, and now it has, and we've got, you know, full confidence in someone who, in Benny, who's been around us for a long time. He knows us all and knows what makes us tick, and we're fully supportive, and we're going to go out there and you know, do what he wants us to do and keep working hard and, like you said, stick together and fight our way out of this.
Yeah, Cookie, there's still enough games if you're good enough. If you win enough games, you can play finals football, but I'm assuming that's the furthest thought from your mind. It's all about concentrating on this next game, and that's the way you've got to approach it, possibly for the next month, and try and win, and then all of a sudden you might be able to start thinking about finals. But how's the confidence levels after a performance last night and after the season you've had? Because I'm assuming confidence would be way down.
Yeah, look, you're right. The competition is close and in our favour, that, you know, finals isn't out of the picture at all by all means. So, but for us, like you said, it's about just getting that second win of the season, that first one, and just building momentum, putting a few together and building that confidence back up in how we play. I'd like to think last night there's, you know, obviously not the result we wanted, but how we defended at the start of the game, the first half, how we went after Penrith in the beginning, there's a lot of good things to be, a lot of positives to take out of that game. Losing our half, losing our fullback, two guys in the bin for some disciplinary stuff. And, you know, if those things didn't happen and a bit better with our discipline, that we think that game would have gone a different way. You know, because that first half, other than a couple of tries they got there, we thought, well, that was the better side there.
How would you feel, Cookie, about Wayne Bennett returning as coach?
Oh, mate, look, he's obviously... that does. We've had him before. We know what he's like, and he knows all us players. A lot of us are still here from when he was there, and look how good he did when he was back here last time. You know, we played some prelims and got to a grand final, just fell short. So no doubt, mate, he'd be a great asset back at the club. And yeah, but at the moment, it's got to be all focus and put our trust in Benny and support him in any way we need to. And the club will. We'll sort all that stuff out, but he's the greatest coach of the game for a reason.
And just, you know, you had Dean Hawkins go down last night. Lachlan Ilias unfortunately suffered that broken leg, and now we hear that, you know, Lachlan Ilias, well, has been told he can look elsewhere, and Lewis Dodd's set to come in. I mean, how do you feel about that whole arrangement going forward in regards to your playmakers? And I guess, who are you sort of expecting to step in there in the short term for you, considering your injuries?
Oh, mate, after that repeat set he put on at half-time, Tommy Burgess could probably put the 7 jersey on, I reckon.
That was the best kick all night. And all season from South.
He sit next to me, but right. He's not saying anything because he haven't paid his invoice from last time.
We're still unsure whether it's in dollars or pounds. That's all.
He'll invoice you next year when he did pounds, I reckon. But, yeah, no, it's, mate, what happened to Dean last night, that hurt us, I think, you know. And obviously Lockie, mate, he's gone through a tough few weeks, and for a young kid, he's got a great head on his shoulders, the way he's handling everything. But I don't know too much about the situation of the kid coming from St. Helens. I don't know too much about him either, but... And it's really a focus probably for next year as well. So, but for this week, we're lucky. I don't know how bad Jai Gray is. Seeing last night in the boot, you wouldn't think maybe next week. I'm not sure at all. But, you know, life's a troll coming back. There's definitely options there with however they go. With, Jackie played a bit there last night, troll back to fullback or however they do it. So we do have some options. But it does add to the injury list that we have at the moment, which is quite a long one.
Yeah, and Jai was on the end of a hip drop tackle. Can I ask Cookie, and they've probably been around for the last, 18 months, 2 years, they've been more prevalent. Do you understand why or how they came into the game? Because I can't remember them ever being a, like, that type of tackle being used before. Is it deliberate? Is it just unfortunate? Is it an accident? Like, why are we seeing more of these now than ever before?
I think Jai's one last night was a bit of an accident. I only saw the one shot of it, but it looked more just, you know, Tris trying to stop a kid who's quite fast going through the line. But then there have been some ones where guys, you know, intentionally dropping themselves on the back of someone's ankles, which are, you know, the ones on purpose, which we can't have in the game. But I can only put it down to, you know, the athletes, you know, we're getting bigger, faster, stronger. You know, you've got your front rowers who have got great footwork now. They've got great speed and agility. So this just shows that across the park, everyone's got that size and strength as well, that, you know, sometimes at high pace, your body just tries to find a way to bring someone down. And sometimes, like Jai's one, I only saw the one clip, but it possibly just an accident, that one. But then there's ones where the player's sort of not really moving forward at pace and someone drops their weight back on their ankles. They're the bad ones that we know as players we can keep out of the game.
Have you got any mail, Cookie?
Nothing today. I know, throw me off on a... I might have a look this afternoon because we only got recovery this morning. I might send one through to you, through the talk to the boys on the Instagram.
I'll put it up on the best friends if you do.
Yeah,
oh, that's good.
I said I'll put it up on the Bets Friends. So you go into your app, you can type in Bets Friends, and you see the tipsters from our show and what they've tipped all week. So if you want to send through a tip, I'll get it up there for you. The Cookmeister's tip.
I'm going through a bit of a rough patch here, not just in tipping, but in reception as well. So I can hardly hear you talking about your tips, Loz.
I'm talking about yours, not mine.
Oh, I was going to say, it's probably a good thing if I'm not listening to your tips either.
Oh, no, I've just a good punter out of luck at the moment, Cookie.
Yep, me too, mate. You're talking to me. things will turn, mate. Things will turn.
That's all you can do, mate. You just got to stay positive, and we wish you all the best against the Dragons next week. And thanks for coming on this morning, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. See you, boys.
Great stuff. Damien Cook there. We're going to preview the racing shows shortly. Deliciously flaky pastry on top, a bottom which is rolled extra thin. A filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. I'm talking about Garlo's Pies, the only pies you should be putting on your plate. And Garlo's Pies simply bursting with flavour. There's heaps of flavours to choose from. And here's a thought. Just take a night off from cooking. Grab a Garlo's Family Pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. Remember, we are located in the chilled meals section. If you can't find us, just ask for Garlo's Pies by name. Garlo's Pies, they're thin on pastry, they're big on meat. Coming up on Radio Tab, Steve Hewlett, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
I'm well, Jerry. Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Jim Roberts will bring us the latest on the track shortly at Eagle Farm. Pete Snowden's got a really interesting two-year-old in Brisbane. Wetor turns up next week in Queensland and King of Sparta in Adelaide for the Goodwoods. So a lot to talk about with Pete. Leah Kilner will join us. She hasn't ridden since that fall at Grafton 2 years ago. She won't ride again, but she'll open up about the day-to-day challenges with that brain injury this morning, Leah Kilner. There's a big night at Eagle Farm next week with Kevin Langby's special guest, Gunsin the Legend. Kevin was in here wandering around the studio yesterday, so he'll join me as well this morning, Kevin Langby, and lots of other news in the first hour. The latest on Giga Kick and also the latest on a very talented horse by the name of Rough Habit. A bit of reminiscing about him this morning, and the inevitable from Tassie is coming to Queensland. We should mention that.
Okay, great stuff, Steve. Busy
Thanks,
show.
Guys.
We'll catch you shortly. And right here, fresh from Calcutta, all up karaoke, all up. Here he is, D. Stanley.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we on this beautiful
Friday?
You've
pulled up a treat, Dave.
Mate, just send me around again. Yeah. I'm like one of those old standard breads at Gloucester Park. Just send me around again. just keep sending me around. Right.
Well, you've done a remarkable job. You look great.
I love the doubt. Even after all these years, there's doubt. Yeah. There should be no doubt. Always turn up. That's one thing.
Were you happy with your rendition of K-Sant?
Look, I'll be honest, I haven't seen the footage yet. I wasn't aware it was being filmed.
Privacy issue.
Well, you know, it's in the hands that it can spread like wildfire now with certain people. So, no, that was a good night. No,
you're ripping into it.
I was ripping into it.
You thought you were Jay Barnes.
I hope we can get that back to Jimmy.
Yeah.
In the Southern Highlands. Can we get that down to him? He'd probably say, who is this idiot?
Nah, it was.
It was a good night.
It was a good night.
What about the money at the Calcutta?
Tell us about the Calcutta, then, Dave.
Well, Faulkner Park obviously went for the big money, as you'd expect. Yep. It's your favourite at 270. Mm. Currently with the tab this morning, a lot of interest in Renaissance Woman. I think a lot of people heard Bjorn Baker's interview with me. Now you know what Bjorn's like. Yeah. He's a high flyer. Gets on the planes and, you know, he doesn't. He likes to travel, but ever since he's won Quokkas and sitting in business class, like, you know, not saying he doesn't like the country, but he's got big things to do in Sydney. Well, he told me, he said, I'm driving to Wagga. I said, you're driving to Wagga? He said, yep, I have to come down and see this man. Now, he's got runners tomorrow at Hawkesbury, so he's going to obviously head back to Hawkesbury.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get a flight. All the flights have been booked out because everyone's coming to the Cup. Is that a tip in itself that Bjorn would jump in the car?
My only concern is he's driving down, and if Renaissance Woman happens to win, he's going to have to drive back. We want to see Bjorn celebrate.
But wouldn't that be a tip that he'd come all this way, drive down? Like if you thought your horse was only a 50-50 chance of winning.
Yeah, but he's only driving down because he couldn't get a flight.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is he's coming. Yeah. I don't think, and this is no knock on Mrs. Waterhouse or Adrian, but I don't think they'll be today. But Mr. Payne will be here in the most colourful suit you'll see ever. He'll be representing the stable. I don't know if Annabelle's here. Don't know if any of the Hayes boys are here. Is that a tip in itself?
Could be.
I'm trying to talk
you
into it.
No. I
is there a chance some of those people will be?
Yeah, 100%. They'll all be here now. Annabelle will be here. JD Hayes will be here. Chris Waller, they'll all be here.
You probably saw him last night. You can't 12,000
people there expecting.
It's a big day, Dave. Mm. I know that. So, I don't know what the racetrack holds, but is that what it does?
Well, I think it can hold a little bit more. Look, put it this way, it'll be busy, but it'll be the way they've set it up this year. They've got a couple of extra marquees. Yeah. Lots of drink tickets have already been sold. So,
have you got any mail?
Yes, David, and no.
Has Barney given you any mail yet?
Yeah, what about Barney?
I forgot.
I'll tell you what one of the best backed runners has been, actually in race number one. This horse of Joey Eyeballs, Sturdy, for Zach Lloyd, who rode some winners there yesterday at Wyong. He's coming down this morning. I think there's a jockey plane they're putting on, so a few jockeys are flying in from Sydney. So Sturdy's been well backed in race one. We're going to talk about this in the punters panel very, very soon. And Joey Dior, another one for Bjorn, has been well backed in race three. So there's a couple. But
who's on the punters panel?
Brody Nixon will be joining me. Beautiful. I've got Chris Roots. I've got Mick Wallace making his punters panel debut today. Mick Wallace, looking at the Hawkesbury meeting tomorrow.
Geez, a tough day tomorrow.
It is a tough day. We're going to be talking about those horses for the next couple of weeks, though, with Scone and whatnot.
Yep.
Interesting, too, with the track. Everyone's going doom and gloom. Oh, what's going to happen? Mate, apparently Hawkesbury hasn't copped nearly as much as what's been happening on the coast. So,
what have you made of Brody's first experience down here in Wagga? Last night he was going to turn up and do the cross, but he decided to stay in bed and do it.
No, he wasn't. He was there at the karaoke. He was there.
Are you suggesting he might have over-raced?
No. This morning. He was coming here this morning.
Oh, so he didn't come in?
No.
Well, there's the first cross.
No, so you're here.
I said that to you last night. Yeah. I said that to you last night. I said, mate, turn up. Always turn up.
Always turn up. That's exactly right.
Did it on the phone, Brody.
And that's what I thought, too. As a young man, you have to turn up.
You know what playbook that's I'm already getting a vibe from? That's a Marlowe playbook.
Marlowe's done things
like that.
Yeah.
You've got to turn up.
Brody. I did rock up on the phone at least.
No, you've got to be here.
Oh, I'm 2 minutes away in a hotel.
I can't even walk at the moment. And I'm here.
And that's what Brody said to me last night. I said, mate, you can do it over the phone if you want. He said, no, mate. I'm 150 metres away. So I can easily just walk out. Did you say that? Yes, you did.
I said I'm 150 metres away and I was curled up in the cushions on the bed.
So you even did the cross in the cot.
Yeah. I did the cross in the cot. I was warm. I was comfortable. I'm here now and I'm ready for the punters panel.
That's out of the Marlowe playbook, mate. You've got to always turn up. You've got to be here.
He conceded defeat.
He did.
Wave the white flag.
One thing I will say, he's wearing exactly the same thing I saw him in last night. So it's travelled light. It's good.
This jacket's been to Germany and everywhere.
That's right.
You see the blokes dressed as Dumb and Dumber before? No, you probably didn't.
No, I didn't. I missed that this morning.
They hadn't stopped. You know, what time did you pull up? They said, we haven't.
Well, I was about to say, I know we're going to get to Steve Hewlett and our team, but the one thing about these country cups is we're about to wrap up. And all people are interested in now is what time the bar opens and us getting out of this tab area so they can get on Flamborough Downs, Remington Park and whatnot. So
I've never seen as many people come in because they're not selling beers just yet.
Just yet. It,
when they get the knock back, we're not open. It's like, oh.
It's very good.
It's like Santa hasn't delivered any presents.
Enjoy today, Loz. I know this is like your, it's your grand Graceland, your grand
homecoming,
final, mate.
Isn't it?
It's a homecoming. Yeah, so if you see Loz today, just get a photo with him. We should actually run a little competition. Tag Lorien on Instagram or something, Big Sports Breakfast, and best photo. We might have a prize for you next week. There
and
we go.
Do it.
Good on everyone for coming down thanks, here mate. Today to the Farrah, and thanks to everyone at Harvest for having us as well. Have a great weekend all.
Thanks, Bitter.
Thanks you.